Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime! I'm still a big old think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration. But not for me, and I was sending it for someone else. Why all the people always seem to just be on vacation? What do I get from it? I don't get anything at all. I'm like a trash can, hauling all the information. And every single time I'm in the field, I'm too tall.
Welcome into Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the Fan Run Radio studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, two-man show today. Again, it's going to be a regular occurrence. Get used to it. If you don't like me and Tucker, you're missing.
I got bad news.
Yeah, sorry about it. It's almost like we're the two here, also the two main ones, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
The two mainstays.
Pretty much.
But it's Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, Overtime from the Fan Run Radio studios. I was going to ask you how you're doing, but I'm going to go ahead and just establish right now I'm not doing well. Tired. Very tired. Drank a cup of coffee at like 4:30 trying to wake myself up, and it just has not hit. I had a headache on my way in to the station today. Was driving in, reaching to my console because I knew I had a bottle of Tylenol, and so I took a couple of them. Yes, I am able to. I had to read the instructions, the nutrition facts, to make sure I was of height and weight to take
right.
two of them. Because I used to be on that one pill
gang.
You got
to read the milligrams and, you know, do the math.
And while I was reading the milligrams, I failed to read the label and realized that it was Tylenol PM that I had just taken. So I am very drowsy today.
A little slumped up.
This is my flu game. Like, I'm a warrior right now. We are not built the same. I'm built different. Very tired. Had you stop and get me an unnamed beverage with caffeine in it.
Yeah, you need a little pick-me-up.
Exactly. I don't think it's going to hit. I'm going to be tired the whole show, but we'll persevere.
So will the listeners.
Yeah, they'll probably. They're no more yawning anyway.
Yes.
But I'll yawn a couple more times than usual. But that I'm just going to go ahead and establish a baseline. I'm feeling good, just tired. Just kind of feel like I just woke up. How you doing?
Kind of with you, yeah. I finished a long week of training this week. Rough physical training, but I'm now.
What are you training for?
For my day job, you know, to guard lives.
Was the training on a black leather couch? The way you phrased it.
No.
Of tough, rough.
No.
Extraneous training.
I don't believe I said all of those adjectives, but it was hard work. You know,
you did get wet.
I did. Yes, I've been in a pool a lot recently, but I'm now officially certified to save lives. Which I hope I don't have to do.
I might just like test
no,
you on that.
No,
like,
please don't.
We have
don't.
A creek behind the station. I might just like go jump in the creek and see if you can actually save me.
I mean, I would know. I mean, that is what they call extremely shallow water. So I would
you
be
don't
able
know.
To.
Have you ever been in that creek?
It looked pretty shallow from what I had seen.
Yeah, but have you ever been in it?
In it? No. I mean, sure, if there's like no ground, it looks like it's about a foot deep.
Okay.
So
I guess we'll find out.
If you laid face down in that water, I could save you.
I'm pretty good at drowning. Like I
sure.
I've told the story
You'd
of
find
me
a way.
Just jumping into open bodies of water.
You used to try to drown yourself.
That,
yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
You
maybe,
were, I mean,
maybe subconsciously.
Yeah, like not, you weren't thinking you were going to drown yourself.
6-year-old me
but.
Had just as much depression as now, just it was subconscious.
Yeah, it was just
jumping.
Buried way down in there.
But no, I used to have to wear life jackets everywhere.
That's tough.
I think I could drown in a foot of water. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
think
anybody
that,
can. You just gotta breathe in water. That's the whole shebang there, brother. I the good thing is, like, from what I've been told, 90% of the job is just, like,
Hey, no running.
and if, like, a kid can't, like, stay, you know, they keep slipping in the pool, you just kind of pick them up a little bit. And so, here you go, champ. Like, hopefully.
Is it required to say, here you go, champ?
That's my rule. That's my motto, you know. Everybody has their own saying.
Everyone has their catchphrase when you have a day job. You get in the flow of things. And yeah, no, I mean, I took temperatures at a gym all the time, and instead of saying enjoy your workout, I would always just say go get a sweat on, because like everyone says enjoy your workout,
right?
They know the one guy who says go get a sweat on, because it makes them laugh,
like, wow,
every time.
That guy's cool.
Yeah, that guy thinks on his feet. Yeah. Little do they know, I say it to every single human being that crossed my path.
Oh yeah, that's how I was. That's my favorite thing about a regulars, but like working a job where you come in contact with a bunch of different people. You can make the same joke all day, every day.
Yeah, you're a
The last place I worked at was a gun range, right? So
you'll shoot your eye out.
It was an indoor gun range, so there was like ceiling tiles downrange, mm-hmm. and so every single day, all the time, when someone would be like, I don't think that was too bad, and they would show me a target that like it was okay, it was all right. I would always get to make the joke of, well, I mean, you're better than 90% of people, because if you'll look at the ceiling, and they don't even look, you know, they never even look up, mm-hmm. they see a bunch of bullet holes.
Got Swiss cheese ceilings.
Yeah, they laugh, and I'm a genius, you know?
And even if it bombs, you got probably, like, 30 more people to tell the same joke to?
I got
to?
15 seconds later, I'm hitting it again, you know? You're always trying out
new
material.
You're always workshopping.
Yeah.
You're always, yeah.
It's like, okay, that one didn't quite work. Let me see if I can tweak it for the next people.
Art really is interpretable you think about it.
It's great. But then, like, I would accidentally make the same joke. Like, so I did, someone had came in, like, a week before, and I said the same thing. We're like, yeah, we were here last week. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, it still applies.
All right.
Not,
I mean, yeah,
lie.
Look at the, shut up. But yeah.
Speaking of jobs we're probably not qualified for, did you see who the Pac-12 hired as their new commissioner?
I saw the name and a brief description.
I just want to say, reporters got my hopes up today. I think I retweeted quite a lot of tweets, but the way they said, like, the new name of the new Pac-12 commissioner is going to be someone no one ever saw coming. The new name is going to be a shocker. All these different journalists tweeting this out. My expectation was Bill Walton.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been pretty shocking. Like, I wasn't blown away by this name because, frankly, I don't know this guy.
And it would have been perfect.
It would have been pretty cool.
Bill Walton's going to be the commissioner of the Pac-12.
Eventually,
before I die.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
If he wants to.
No, he wants to.
That man won't do anything he doesn't want to.
I mean, I won't. You won't. That's how life should be.
Sometimes you got to do things you don't do. But when you're Bill Walton, you can just kind of not. He has a little longer leash than anybody else.
It has to go 6'8" in the air. So yes, it has to.
Yeah.
Be
what other broadcast guy could just?
Literally anybody. I don't know why people don't do it. Everyone just has a stick up their butt.
You think
like,
so?
No. Bill Walton has not been let go. He hasn't been fired. I think people could have fun and be freewheeling and have that same spirit, and no one would get upset. It's just everyone wants to be Dave Pasch. They don't want to be Bill Walton. Every sports reporter coming up in the business doesn't want to rub dirt on their face. They don't want to say that the next head coach of UCLA should be Barack Obama. That's just not what people want to do. They want to give constructive criticism. They want to be real journalists.
They want to see as professional.
Exactly. And Bill Walton doesn't care. Bill Walton's already been a professional and played like 9 games as a professional.
He did it.
In like 14 years. He only played like... I think he played the least amount of games if you add up the seasons.
Yeah.
Percentage-wise, out of any pro basketball player that's played at least, I think, 8 seasons.
Doesn't matter. He's pretty cool.
Yeah. George Kolovkov.
Okay.
Kolovkov.
That's as close as I'll get.
Kolovkov has been hired as the new Pac-12 commissioner. The MGM, I don't know why that was harder to say than his name, but the MGM executive is the new commish of... Pac-12.
So is he like a MGM as in like the casino?
I'm assuming. Like, is there anything else at MGM?
I wouldn't think so. So, and he cut a deal with Hulu that was very big.
Is he the reason they have live sports?
Maybe. I have no idea. We might actually.
But I mean,
I don't know anything much about this guy.
Square one, at least you know you can't really do worse than the last commissioner. Like, Larry Scott is one of the most hated human beings in college football right now. Obviously, now out of college football. So, like, you can't really get worse, I guess. Like, you could definitely get worse, but, like, I don't think anybody's going to hate you as much as Larry Scott. You get 5 years contract. So he'll begin his five-year contract July 1st after receiving unanimous support from the Pac-12's presidents, chancellors, the conference said in a release.
So what is the, like, what are the odds that this guy actually can be a piece of the Pac-12 not being a garbage dump anymore?
I'm not going to lie. I don't know what college commissioners really do.
I was about to ask that same question, but I reeled myself in because I thought you were going to call me an idiot.
I mean, like, I realize they are the big wigs. They make some decisions.
They cut TV deals.
But at the same time, they normally also are like, I compare it to state politicians. You have the local government is normally what the state politicians, so like the actual presidents of the different universities, normally state representatives will just kind of be like, okay, well, local can make their decisions for the local things and leave it up to the presidents to decide on what they want to do in the SEC. If we're using Greg Sankey as an example, then he gets to vote and make some decisions and be the speaking voice for the SEC when going to these other meetings. But then eventually it just gets decided by the ultimate president, Mark Emmert, if he wants to do that or not. So it's a very weird thing, but I honestly have no idea what commissioners really truly do. But in a statement he said, "I'm thrilled to be the Pac-12 commissioner. This is a challenging time for intercollegiate athletes, and I believe these challenges also create significant opportunities. I loved being a student athlete, and I am passionate about the doors that college sports and higher education open for young women and men. My job at the Pac-12 will be to help manage the balance between continued academic excellence, student welfare and well-being, and an even higher level of athletic achievement." So I guess that's what a commissioner does.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
he makes
really
sure
important.
The GPAs are good.
Yeah, pretty much. Just make sure everything runs smoothly, I would guess. I think if you want to make the Pac-12, you know, back to what they were or what they, you know, could be, number one, you need to stop. If it's an important Pac-12 game, it needs to for sure be at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. Eastern. No more 10 o'clock kickoffs. Your teams need to get better as overall. You need to start winning football games. I don't care who's doing it. Somebody does. You know, more than just one or two teams. Like,
but when you look at other conferences,
what can a commissioner,
when you look at other conferences, like, I know the Pac-12 has not had nearly as much success as they are used to or have been used to, but they've also lost a couple teams and gained a couple teams, like normal rearrangements go down. But, like, when you look at other conferences, is there SEC, I guess, for sure has better football if we're talking strictly football in terms of, like, teams that are good. But, like,
yeah, you know what, I'll be honest, I had kind of forgot about the other sports.
Like, but every conference usually only has two or three good teams, and then the rest are bottom feeders that get beat up by those top three teams. So I don't disagree with your statement. They do have to start winning and getting more teams into the spotlight than the USCs and teams of that nature that aren't very good. Like, you had Washington come out of nowhere with Jake Browning.
Right.
It just was not impressive. But at the same time, that's what happens across almost all conferences. It's just normally one team in that conference stakes domination. You have Oklahoma in the Big 12 after Texas's reign. Oklahoma comes in and snaps up that reign. You have Alabama, who's been on a reign forever, it seems like now. You have Ohio State, who's coming in and on their reign as well. And then you have Clemson in the ACC. You really only have number one teams coming out of those conferences. There's not a lot of parity in college football. So I do agree with your statement. You got to win more games and get a better national market value, but it's going to be challenging when you look at other conferences are in the same square. They just have gotten away with it, I guess. And they've also had more teams be at that number one spot before. Like, you, in the SEC, you've had teams come up and rise before. You've had teams from the Big 10 and the Big 12, respectively, come up and rise. You haven't seen nearly as much of that from the Pac-12. I mean,
no.
Oregon and Washington are the first two schools that come to mind of any sort of dominance. The only reason Washington State was relevant was because Gardner Minshew's mustache and Mike Leach air raid. Like, can you think of any other real important Pac-12 football teams off the top of your head? Real impact teams?
Not really. I
Colorado hasn't done anything. Cal really
no.
hasn't done anything. Jared Goff really didn't even do anything when he was the number one pick that I can remember.
No, it was just him.
Yeah, I mean, they a solid season. I'm sure they had pretty good stats, but there was no national brand building off of that.
No.
Same with Aaron Rodgers and players like that. Like, they've gotten good guys. It's just, it hasn't translated all the way around. But basketball has been good. You get
basketball has been pretty decent.
The number two conference by CBS Sports. You had all five of your teams that made the tournament advance, but you only had five teams make the tournament. Like you would appreciate more teams like that. But
UCLA made a deep run.
For sure, and looking to build off something. Colorado, I mentioned yesterday, as a top five recruiting class. They might have slipped with the new rankings. I believe Rivals rearranged some of their rankings. Jonas Eidu got ranked as a five-star.
But I did see that.
Brandon Huntley Hatfield still a four-star on that website. So technically Tennessee with only 2 5-stars on the recruiting trail. But Tennessee could move into first place in the recruiting for basketball, kind of switching gears from Pac-12 to just basketball recruiting in general. What is that make you feel, I guess, obviously good, but is there any concern, any take on the Vols closing in on that number one recruiting?
It would be pretty sweet to be number one in the country.
In my opinion, it doesn't really.
Number
one is a cool number, but if you're number two, it doesn't mean anything to me. You're getting the same guys, the same evaluation.
Yeah, we have our guys. It's not if we add somebody, like if we were to add another 4-star or something like that, and that would make us first place. Obviously, that's better than being second.
And I also think if we added a 4-star or any prospect, really, I remember reading that quote the other day from Rick Barnes saying that we won't be adding or grabbing anything if it's not a like very, very special prospect.
Yes.
So I would feel even more comfortable knowing that quote. If we go and get a 4-star, that they have potential. Rick Barnes isn't going just for anybody. He's going strictly for that the next piece, if there is any a next piece.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm already like really comfortable with our guys coming in. I mean, we've got a wide array of positions, and they're all extremely talented. We're going to have an actual true point guard that is going to he's going to be the engine that runs through this basketball team. I'm excited. I'm very, very excited about this basketball team.
Me as well. Tennessee still ranks second in recruiting on 247. Did you see, speaking of college basketball real quick, did you see where they are going to be planning on giving technical fouls to floppers?
In college?
In college basketball, yes.
Okay. Is that an instant? No, like, because it, as it stands right now, I mean, unless this rule is already officially in, you get a warning and then you're fouled, right?
No, you don't get anything in college basketball.
You don't get anything right now.
There's there's nothing about flopping.
Is there a warning now then?
I don't.
Or is it just you flop technical?
Hold on. I'm sure there's going to be different levels of an obvious flop versus just a flop to
get
a call.
There, sure.
There are two very different things. Flopping to get a call, like LeBron James
does
a
selling.
Lot. Or selling. Yeah, that's probably a way better thing to say. Selling a call versus flopping for no reason, just to you can have the delay of game aspect of it, the harm of it, if you're landing on the ground underneath the basket, different things like that. I just don't know how much it's going to be used because referees love calling a charge. I mean, it is we talked about before. It's the most exciting call to make, a block or a charge, because those are the two coolest moves. You get to do a little pelvic thrust, or you get to throw your arm up in the air and signal first down.
Yeah.
You got to make those calls more boring to make refs not want
to call. You get to take a couple hop steps. Like, you get to put your body into it.
I mean, Joey Crawford danced down the sidelines all the time.
Yeah. That is infuriating, by the way. When a ref really, really plays it up and it's against you, it makes you want to break everything inside.
Turns into a ref show.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, with the way refs love calling charges or blocks, I think they'll just love calling flops just as much. Getting to call someone out for their BS.
Yeah, but you have to have a cool flop call.
Yeah, like I need to see.
You do need to do like the worm. The worm would be such a cool flop call. No, because you're like a fish out of water and you're flopping on the ground.
Right, these are like old men.
The Harlem Shake.
They just convulse?
Yeah.
Their body just shakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a wacky inflatable tube-man type deal? Just arms up and down? And
maybe the flop. What could be the flop? I don't really know.
Here's a quote from Colorado coach talking about the new rules. After 2 years of using warnings, we didn't feel like we were getting the results that we wanted. That's Tad Boyle, Colorado head coach. We are trying to get flopping out of our game. We're asking officials to call them when they happen. Trying to find here's from the NCAA release. Committee members think adding the technical foul component is the next step in hopes of eliminating the tactics from the game. The rule change would eliminate a warning for flopping and instead lead to a technical foul when a fake being fouled situation is clear and obvious. So clear and obvious are the main words right there that are going to be confusing. It's like any law that's ever been written, any rule that's ever been written,
yes.
Does catch it type situation where there's real no definition of what this is. It's going to be interpretable to the rules officials. This would result in the other team shooting one foul shot, and then the player called for the technical foul would not accumulate a personal foul. So it would just be basically, in the NBA, a defensive 3-second violation. You
okay.
get one shot and the ball back, but there's no penalty on that player.
Okay. That'll be... There's going to be a tournament game this year that is directly affected by this rule. Late game, under a minute, maybe a tie ball game, maybe up by three. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going
to
flop.
Yeah, no, but that, I mean, it already happens now where people are just flopping to get a call late last minute to try to get free throws in general. So if you do get called for that flopping, it negatively affects you instead of, because many people will just run into traffic and try to get two free throws instead of actually trying to make a basketball play. You saw that a lot during this tournament. I'm trying to think. I think it was Virginia Tech. I could be wrong. Virginia Tech lost to Florida in first round, right? Hit that game, the game-tying shot. I'm pretty sure it was the Hokies.
Yes.
But anyways.
Yes, they did.
They did. It was. I'm pretty sure it was Virginia Tech who just sprinted straight into the lane, jumped into the air, jumped into contact, threw the ball off the backboard way too hard, clearly out of control, but got a foul call on it and was able to get a couple of free throws. Ended up losing the ball game, but still, that tactic does work and has worked throughout the tournament. Some other experimental agenda changes here. I don't know how many of these. I'm just reading a CBS Sports article talking about rule changes, so I'm assuming these are all going to be made, but I think these are just recommendations made by the Rules Committee, still waiting to be fully voted on, because this article is from May 7th, so a little late. But you also have the increase to 6 fouls with a maximum of 4 fouls per half. That's going to be experimental in the NIT. You have the allowance of league level for coaches to use technology, live statistics, and video on the bench. You also have team timeouts that can serve as a to replace media timeouts, and shot clocks will now be able to display tenths of a second. So some random rule changes in
okay.
there, but I don't hate none of those really.
I like the technology on the sideline, you know, because that's something that football has been doing for years.
The Microsoft Surfaces.
Yes, I mean even high school football teams are doing that. I think college basketball could be greatly helped with just the product on the court. Mm-hmm. If something's going wrong and you can show on video, hey, this is what you did. Here's what you need to do. Like, I think you'll see better play out of guys in game, and you'll see better in game adjustments because of that. Like, that's a humongous tool. It's a whole lot easier to conceptualize what you need to do when you can see it rather than, you know, just X's and O's on a whiteboard.
For sure. It does change the way the game is coached, though, and I'm sure. I always make fun of Folky for being a baseball traditionalist. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a basketball traditionalist, and so
right.
I'm not against this, but it does fundamentally change the way the game is coached if you're not having to really get into someone's head, write down on a blackboard or something like that, and you can just show them a video. I don't want to say it takes away, but it does change the way the game is coached. Hopefully it can benefit some coaches that have struggled with in-game decisions, such as our own Rick Barnes.
Yes.
That's first segment of overtime. We'll be right back. More on the other side. Back in Fan and Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, overtime rolling right along, live from the Fan and Radio studios. Coach Heupel went on the Outkick 360 today. Maybe not today, but went on recently. I have a 247 article talking about the comments. A headline reads, Josh Heupel addresses frustration of Tennessee fan base. Thought it was an interesting read. He had a couple of quotes I wanted to mention, maybe not get too deep into, because I don't know how much it means. It's just an article about the coach. Might as well talk about it type deal. But he said, I'll just go ahead and start with this quote right here, because this is the main thing I think a lot of people kind of, I don't know if forget about, but don't necessarily talk as much about. But he talks about his perspective as a player. He says, I think my perspective as a football player shapes my perspective on who we are and where we're at today. I say that because I went to Oklahoma, and that was a program at the time that hadn't been to a bowl game for 5 straight years, and there was some uncertainty and negativity surrounding that program. I say that as a positive because just like here at Tennessee, they have passion. They care. They want to live it, breathe it, eat it 365 days out of the year. That's why I wanted to be at Tennessee. This is a special program. It's one of the greatest traditions in college football. Top 10 in wins, top 10 in draft picks. Anything you want to do here can and has been done, and it will be done again. I know we've got a long way to go from where we are today. Our staff and our players are going to fight and compete to get there every single day. Now, if you look through the coach speak, it's a pretty good statement.
I like
getting past all the normal stuff. I mean, it's not a lot of regular coach speak. Talking about his perspective as a player, I think, is something that, again, I don't want to say forget about, but a lot of people maybe put to the back burner because we have had assistant coaches and stuff like that come here and flounder, such as a Chris Winkie who beat him out for the Heisman that year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very intriguing perspective, I guess, from him.
Yeah, I like that he brought up the fact that he's been at a program before that has a good history, has a passionate fan base, and at the time was on, you know, a downtrend, were not anything reflecting what they had been before. And, you know, he's kind of been around what that's like. And, I mean, if you look at Oklahoma went up while he was there. I'm not saying he was the reason, but he was around a program that was once very good, but at the time not great, and got closer towards being great again. I don't know how
a Heisman candidate, like you put them on the map. We were talking just a second ago earlier when we were talking about the Pac-12 as these teams that normally have one or two teams that are at the top of that thing. I mentioned Texas had a reign, and around this time when Heupel was playing is when Oklahoma and Texas kind of flipped, and Oklahoma was that top dog in the Big 12. It wasn't strictly because of Heupel, but it does start there.
Yes, he knows what it takes to take a program out of the depths.
And even if he doesn't know what it takes, he at least has
seen it before. Yes.
And can hope to duplicate it, I guess.
Yes, he knows that it's possible. He knows what the atmosphere, the energy around the program, what kind of culture, you know, bodes well in these kind of moments. You know, if you're down in the dumps, you've got to find ways to be positive and have guys flying around and having fun and enjoying being there and having, pride in what they're doing there for the university. That's a good recipe to be able to get back into our winning ways. And man, I'm a sheep. I have orange tinted glasses on every day. I hate how much I'm starting to like this guy, even though he's not even coached a friggin' snap. I've not seen a play run by him.
He coached the orange and white game.
He coached the orange and white game, sure. He won. Congrats. That's the first W as of all. But I feel myself starting to like him more and more, and it scares me.
It's like falling in love with
yes,
a girl who
yes,
you know has a ton of red flags. It's very it's very easy to ignore red flags.
You can close your eyes and just ignore it all.
Yes, it's very, very easy, especially when you've been hurt before, to just kind of
been hurt so many times.
A, be scared, but also be over-accepting, I guess. It's a very common thing. If you've been hurt before, to be scared, but also be vulnerable, I guess, is the proper way to put it. He had another quote that I thought was interesting, and again, just sheeping it up here, because I am like you, very much falling in love with this guy. I'll show you a song that I think resembles this moment. It's called I Hope I Don't Fall in Love with You by Tom Waits. It's exactly what the title says.
Okay.
I hope I don't fall in love with this guy. I
hope he gives us a reason to.
Yeah, Just Give Me a Reason by Pink.
Give me a reason.
Just give me a
That was good.
Thank you. Excited that we get a chance to embark on that journey here. Heupel said, I consider it a privilege to be the caretaker of Tennessee football at this time. I want our fan base to jump on board. I know part of that is the product on the field, but the passion and energy that surrounds our program has a huge impact on our recruiting. It has a huge impact on our players. Let's do this thing, man, and have some fun.
God, let's do it, man. I hope he's the one. I'm tired of as a football fan, I feel like I'm 45, and you know I've never been married, but I've dated, you know, 4 and 5 years, but it's never worked out. Now I'm 48, you know, getting later in life, and I'm like, God,
Got to settle down.
I hope this is the one. Please just be the one. I'm tired of searching. Be the one that's going to be here for a long time.
My kids need a good mom. I'm tired of bouncing around with random new stepmoms.
Like, we need something permanent here, guys. Throw us a bone, sports gods.
I like this quote, though, because he's almost calling us negative, but he's doing it in a much better way than Danny White has.
Yeah,
and that's what's gotten Danny White, I don't want to say in trouble, but made Vol fans upset at Danny White, was he just basically came out and said, hey, guys, like, can we cut the negativity out a little bit? Like, come on, guys, cut it out. And Vol fans were like, you don't know what we've been through.
Don't you don't
tell
understand.
Me what to do. I'm
it's not a phase.
Exactly.
It's been my whole life.
Exactly. This is a much better way to put it in terms of just saying, I want our fan base to jump on board. I know part of that is the product on the field, but the passion and energy that surrounds our program has a huge impact on our recruiting. If you read that statement, and maybe I'm just doing too much grammatical analysis, but when I look at that statement, what it reads to me is, I want our fan base to jump on board. I know our project on the field has been terrible, but the hatred that comes from this program has a huge impact on our recruiting. Now, maybe I'm reading it in the opposite light that he meant it, but that's a very good way of saying, please stop being negative, in my opinion.
I don't think so. I think he means it in a positive light.
I definitely think he means it in a positive light. That's why I think it's a good way, because it plays to both sides. It's not straight negativity. That's what I'm saying.
Sure. I mean, he knows that we're passionate and that we expect a lot from the fan base. It also just, I mean, the fact that we've been down for so long but are still just a bunch of hooligans on Saturdays. We may not sell it out every Saturday like we used to back in the day, back before I was even on this planet, which would have been really cool. But, you know, he understands that we have the ability to do that if the product on the field matches the passion that the fans are bringing. If both of those are on the same level, we're an unstoppable force. Like, Neyland would be absolutely insane. It may come apart and crumble.
All right, and hope we don't put a crack in it like we did to I-40 Bridge.
Yeah.
More overtime when we get back. Our one overtime final segment. Getting started right now, live from the FanRun Radio Studios. Will Stevenson, Tucker Holt, rolling right along with y'all until 8 p.m. like usual. Tucker, you big a card guy? I was a big sports card guy when I was a kid, but strictly not for like the value of it, but I just liked sports,
right.
And so I like sports cards. I'm very upset because I probably had close to 2,000 sports cards. I know I had a Stephen Curry rookie card.
Ooh.
No idea where any of those cards are, and I know they would be worth something.
Yeah, that one's probably worth something.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big sports card guy growing up.
Card guy in any aspect?
So pretty much I liked Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I was big. This was when I was like...
I looked down upon you.
When I was like 7, maybe. It lasted for maybe a year. But I just thought they looked really cool.
No, I can't hate. I had a ton of Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
I thought they looked cool.
Yeah.
So like every time we would go to Walmart, I'd be like, "Hey, can I have a little pack of cards?"
I used to get schemed so hard. I didn't watch Yu-Gi-Oh when I was little, but
I watched it like not nearly like very very rarely.
Fair enough. But I didn't watch it almost at all when I was little. I wasn't big into the TV show.
Okay.
But all of my older siblings that I grew up with all had Yu-Gi-Oh cards, so as someone who wanted to fit in, you get Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Right, yep.
I used to get fleeced by my cousins because they would just trade me these cards and then just tell me, like, no, this one's way more powerful than the other one. Then we would get into a duel, and they would kick my ass with my old cards.
See, I never played.
You never dueled?
No, I literally just owned them. I would look at them and be like, wow, these are pretty sick. Because there was, like, those kids at school that would have like a stack.
They'd have the arm mechanics and everything.
Sure, I saw there was like one guy at my school that had that, but he was not seen as the coolest. But there would be those kids with like just
one ever beat him in a duel.
The fat stacks of Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I thought that was pretty cool. I wanted that many cards because they would like show them to me, and they would be like holographic and like all this cool stuff. I would just get garbage cards all the time, and I had like maybe 50 cards, and I thought they were so cool.
Were you ever big into Pokemon at all?
No, like never. I've played Pokemon more recently now than when I was a child,
Pokemon
just because it came out.
Or the Xbox?
I played Pokemon Go because I was in like high school, and whenever that came out. But the one on the Switch. One just came out on the Switch, and I got it for like Christmas. It's actually pretty fun.
Well, they are no longer carrying NFL, MLB, NBA, or Pokemon trading cards in Target or Walmarts. You heard that right.
Why? Are they not selling?
No.
People aren't?
Quite the opposite.
What's happening?
They're having to lock them up, and there's been a spike
people
in
are stealing
violence.
Them? Oh, violence?
Inside of the stores over trading cards.
Over cards.
People are getting in fist
fights. People are throwing hands.
People are getting in fist fights over cards. I don't know if you are big on the TikTok app, but there's a big TikTok community of sports scalpers, I like to call them, because they're horrible human beings who take away the fun
yep.
of being a kid
yes,
and
do.
Try to scam other human beings. It's stupid.
That is correct.
But there's a big scalper community online. Well, they'll just take videos of them waiting in line of close to hundreds of people waiting in line for these stores to open so they can come and get all of the packs of sporting cards that they have and Pokemon cards and any form of trading cards other than Magic the Gathering. As in every single photo I've seen so far, Magic the Gathering is the only card still on the shelves.
Wow.
Must be bad to be Magic the Gathering.
No, but apparently those are, like, some of those cards have gotten into, like, the thousands, though.
For real?
Yeah. Like, apparently, like, they've been making them forever, so, like, the super old ones are worth a ton. I don't know how you play that game or how much cards cost, but I don't reckon it's as big of a market as Pokemon or...
Here's what a Target sign said in front of the card outlet. To ensure safety of our guest and team members, effective May 14th, tomorrow, Friday, MLB, NFL, NBA, and Pokemon trading cards will no longer be sold in stores until further notice.
Oh, wow.
Now, there are some other stores who are strictly limiting it to be bought one pack per person.
Okay.
But as for Walmart, there is no word on whether the company has decided to remove cards nationwide, but it seems like at least some stores have pulled their stock. In March, some customers began to report that the trading cards were being locked up and limited to one per customer, and an internal memo has now leaked, appearing to show that cards are being suspended due to the inappropriate customer behavior.
I just don't know where you're at in life whenever you are getting into fist fights over cards. They're not worth enough. You're getting fined more than you're making.
Here's the internal document that was leaked. The trading card categories have been removed from the sales floor, and the sales of the items have been suspended due to inappropriate customer behavior and increased demand. Please do not stock these items until further direction from management has been given out. Questions and comments can be directed towards the management team.
Wow.
That's from Walmart.
Children. Not actual children, but you're all children. You're immature. You need to grow up.
The reason for the measures is that the demand for trading cards is skyrocketing, encouraging scalping and some extremely dodgy behavior. In a particularly violent instance that took place outside a Target last week, one man pulled a gun on another customer who was attacking him over sports cards. Demand for Pokemon cards in the U.S. saw people scalping from McDonald's Happy Meals.
Yep, I know about
McDonald's
that.
Is reporting considering placing limits on number of Happy Meals you can buy in the U.K., to prevent this from happening again.
Pitiful.
Some people in the U.S. even started cutting open cereal boxes to dig out valuable Pokemon card packs inside.
Like in the store?
I guess.
I mean, because if you bought the cereal, I'm fine with you cutting it open. But if you're in the grocery aisle shanking the Honey Nut Cheerio Bee to get a baseball card.
I'm so mad I don't have any of my cards anymore. I'm going to call my mom and dad after the show and see what they did with all my sports cards, because I know they threw them away. Like,
think they threw them away?
My mom threw away my NCAA 14 video game on accident she didn't realize that it would be valuable when I told
her, hey. Because it was old.
She got me a new system for Christmas, and to be nice and courteous, and I very much appreciate everything she does for me. Don't get me wrong. She went ahead and just rearranged my room by plugging up my new Xbox and everything.
Super nice.
It was like 2018, so I was still in high school,
right?
Or maybe even middle school, if I'm doing the math wrong. But she's very nice, very considerate. Come home, because parents are divorced, shout out. No big deal. Two Christmases. And
right, so yeah. I'm on the same team.
So I wake up at my dad's house, drive over to mom's house,
right?
And presents are already kind of set up. So she wanted to set up my room already with the new present. Threw away all of my Xbox games,
Bummer.
Including three NCAA football video games. So I'm just assuming they didn't hold on to the trading cards
as
well.
Probably not. Probably did not survive. I have like maybe 20 cards. I've got, but they're all new. Like they're all new guys. I have a Nick Senzel rookie card. So if he ever decides to be a Hall of Famer, that'd be pretty. I wish he would. That'd be nice of him if he would. If his card would just magically become worth 20 grand.
I still remember opening my Stephen Curry rookie card because it was like a fresh rookie card. It wasn't like got it randomly in a pack. It was a rookie pack that I bought, and I was like, I don't know if any of these guys are even going to be good. And I know for a fact I pulled a Steph Curry out of that pack.
Wow.
So I'm going to have to go find out where those things are.
Yeah, you're going to have to find a little bit.
Trading cards seem to be experiencing a boom across franchises, with customers getting into trading during lockdown and treating the cards as a financial investment. This is partially down to scarcity, with the Pokemon Company explaining the global shipping constraints have impacted availability. But high-profile streamers like Logan Paul have also given the trading card scene a boost. And millennial nostalgia has also created is also being credited with playing a role. In February, the Pokemon Card Company pledged to reprint impacted products at a maximum capacity to keep up with the demand. Clearly, this has not been enough to stop the frenzy leaving stores to take matters into their own hands. Here lies my question. Obviously, we're not fighting over sports cards.
No.
What's the one thing at a store you're willing to fight over? There's only one item of it left on the shelf. What's the one thing you're fighting over?
Any item?
Any item.
It's the last thing.
There's only one more on the shelf.
Oh, God. Well, what's yours?
Don't like things.
What's yours?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I asked you first, but I think mine would be a Gwyneth Paltrow candle.
Oh, Jesus.
We'll be right back. Overtime, hour two, getting ready, get going. Live from the Fan Run Radio Studios, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt in here with you guys going up until 8 p.m. like always. Tucker, did you see the top cities for barbecue in the United States?
I saw a lot of people very, very upset. I browsed the map. It looked a little silly.
Do you want me to go ahead and give you a rundown?
Yeah, where did they say number one was?
Number one is New Orleans. Number two.
Okay, that's not crazy, right? That one's not crazy.
I don't know.
I feel like the people in New Orleans can cook a little bit.
They can cook. I don't know if they're known
barbecue,
for their barbecue.
True.
You know
true.
What I mean? They crawfish boils, low country type
stuff.
Yeah,
but you telling me those people don't, you know, the people down in New Orleans don't throw a pig over a fire and you know, smoke a pig, make some pulled pork. It's not going to be just banging.
Yeah, but I'm just sure there's probably a different
probably, there's
number
probably,
one.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Number two, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
That's maybe Oklahoma. I just.
You have three cities tied for third: Charlotte, North Carolina; Virginia Beach, Virginia; and Wichita, Kansas.
No, that's just silly. Wichita,
I can believe strictly because they have a lot of pigs there.
Do they?
Yeah, that's where swine flu was. Not swine flu. Spanish flu.
That's where. That is where it started. Okay.
It started on a military base in America from the pigs. And the poop water basically being
the
run.
Poop pond.
Yes.
Yeah. They always have these giant ponds of just poop.
But then when we were fighting with the Spaniards, they were the ones who had the bad symptoms because everyone in
right.
America was
yeah.
already used to it.
Yeah, because we were used to
poop water.
Poop water. Yeah. So this list. What is the metric they're using? How did they come to this conclusion?
I'm 99% sure this is fake.
You think it's fake?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Who put it out?
I don't know where the original tweet comes from, but the it says an analysis of TripAdvisor's restaurant reviews by chefspencil.com.
Okay, chefspencil.com. Well, that's a website you've never heard of before.
Exactly. That's
and they got a lot of clicks today.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I don't think it's accurate.
Probably not.
After a three-way tie for third, you then have number six, Columbus, Ohio. Shout out Folky.
All right, okay.
Shout out Folky. Then you have number seven, Seattle, Washington.
That's not where I think of when I think of barbecue.
Number eight is like the only
not
one
city on here so far.
Here's one you definitely think of at least a little bit. St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis barbecue is a thing.
Kansas City barbecue is a thing.
Is it not St. Louis?
I mean, maybe St. Louis has barbecue, but what I hear, I mean, granted, echo chamber, Twitter, but I think Kansas City barbecue is like in the country. It's like top five.
Obviously not. It's not top 10.
Not on that stupid map. Memphis isn't even on that list, is it?
Well, Memphis and Kansas City are decently close to each other. Am I thinking on the wrong area?
They ain't like, you can't take a casual drive.
That's what I thought. I'm thinking of the wrong area. But you got number nine coming in. You got a tie for number nine, Miami, Florida, and Newark, New Jersey.
Newark, New Jersey. But so that's in the same vein of that Brooklyn barbecue, huh?
I guess.
I mean, it's pretty much New Jersey, New York City, unless it's, you know, very South Jersey.
If I was to look at this list, I think it would have been a list of just looking at Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, New Orleans, New Orleans, Louisiana, Miami, Florida, Charlotte, North Carolina, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Newark, New Jersey, St. Louis, Columbus, Wichita State, and Seattle. I think, oh, this is the NIT bids. You got Ohio State,
yeah.
University of New Orleans or Tulane or anything down there in Louisiana. You got Oklahoma City, so Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. You got Wichita State. You got Virginia Tech or Virginia. You got one of Duke or Carolina. You got Miami. You got Rutgers. And you got any Washington school you can pick of the litter. That was my first thought. But people in the comments were mad, like, almost anything that happens on Twitter.
Of course. Yeah, well, I mean, that map is a little bit just blatantly false. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I've seen anyone who agrees with it unless they're from those places. I mean, I've never heard one of those cities named. I've heard of Memphis Barbecue.
Charlotte, a couple people were really sticking up for Charlotte in the comments.
Okay. Is it like one specific place?
I have no idea. I just saw a couple people sticking up for Charlotte in the comments.
I just don't know how. It's just clicks. It's clickbait, man.
It's clickbait.
Like, that's what the internet has become. It's just say whatever you can that either pisses people off or can cause people to, like, argue with each other over 2 points. Just say something outlandish. It gets you going. It gets the gets you that boost.
Just ask Pig Howard.
What I did not get to do any investigations into this. I saw everybody tweeting about
but I was going busy. Off today.
About what?
I can read you. Like, I mean, it's just political talking points, and I don't want to get too into the actual politicals.
Gotcha.
But just looking through his timeline, you can tell he knew what was going to make him go semi-viral, I guess.
Okay.
Looking at his tweets, he averages like around 3 likes per tweet. He'll have every now and then a 30-like tweet, and then it goes back down. But as soon as he started tweeting yesterday about politics, he got a ton of interaction, and now today he has been on a tear of trying to get people to get him an NFL job.
Ah, well, this was talked about a while ago, was it not? A few months ago, where he talked about how Butch didn't even send his info for the combine whenever he was going to the draft.
I mean, he was dismissed from the team twice, suspended once and then dismissed from the team afterwards.
Sure. So, I guess that's fair.
I'm not going to try to speak on Butch Jones and try
I'm just
to
saying this
I
don't was something.
Stick, I don't want to stick up for Butch Jones here because I hate him as much as the next guy.
Right.
But if you suspend a guy from the team for whatever team issues, because I tried to do some research and figure out what was going on, whatever issues were going on the team, if you suspend a guy from a team, I don't think you're necessarily responsible for getting him drafted after that if you suspended from the team. Now, if you shouldn't have suspended from the team, that's on you, Butch Jones. I'm not trying to stick up for Butch Jones, but I will say, if you suspend a guy from a team, I don't think you're responsible for then trying to get him drafted as well.
That's fair.
If Butch Jones went around it and was like, "No, I'm taking your paperwork and never sending it to the NFL and hid it away from someone," then yes, that's messed up. But Pig Howard's complaint of he didn't send my paperwork.
I think it was like agreed upon that he would.
I got you. Shame on you, Butch
and
Jones.
And I don't know all of the info. I'm not even talking about whether it was right or wrong or what happened. It's just like this conversation of him, you know, about his draft and how he should be in the NFL was talked about. I want to say like maybe September people were talking about this, maybe even more recently. But it's been within the last year that, you know, the Pig Howard was done wrong. And, you know, it was like some sort of tell-all about the Butch Jones administration, stuff like that. This has kind of happened once before, and I think he was trying to get a tryout or a workout with any team, and it did not work, obviously. He's not on an NFL team. I don't know if he'll be able to secure one this time either.
I don't know. I was just looking through his tweets the other night, and he has some out there things. Tweets a lot about, not my words, his, poor women.
He
always talks about how you should not date poor women because poor women wouldn't date you if you were poor, which is advice. I don't know if it's good or bad advice. I'm not a man who gets women a lot of the times, but tweets a lot about females.
Okay.
And had one tweet that just says, "Are the shootings real or do y'all think they're staged to pass new laws?"
Oh, wow.
That was from May 9th before he went on his hardcore political rampage. So it was just a very, very interesting thing because he goes on this political rampage, gets 200, 450, 700 likes on a couple of his tweets, almost 800 on one of them, and now is begging to get back into the NFL. And I'm not trying to be – I like being a conspiracy theorist. If we're not allowed to get political on this show because I don't like to, let's get conspiracy theorists. Maybe he doesn't believe in half the things he thinks, but he's like, oh, Vol fans will like all these things, and then if I start then tweeting, hey, I need an NFL job, they're going to be more inclined to stick up for me. Because Howard's been tweeting that he wants an NFL job for a while.
For years.
Now all it takes is tweeting a bunch of Republican talking points, and then the Republican fans will hype you up. His whole timeline has just been him retweeting people saying that he deserves a job. It's a very, very interesting situation going on.
Yeah, I have seen a large uptick in the amount of people saying that Pig Howard needs to be in the NFL. Does anyone think right now he's good enough to be in the NFL? I feel like if you,
I don't think so. I feel like you would already be in the league again. I had no idea how the Butch Jones situation goes down, but if you're good enough to be in the league, I feel like scouts and people will come find you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's obviously odd situations, but most of the time, NFL guys are good about if they want someone desperately and they think they have a chance, they'll go get them.
Yeah, I mean, look at Tyreek Hill. He got dismissed from his team, went to West Alabama, and is now a superstar in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like talent leads to the NFL. If you can somewhat, get past your shortcomings and your, misstepping with the rules or, team policy or anything like that, or the law, if you're talented and can at least, learn from your mistakes, you'll make it to the NFL. Mm-hmm. If your talent is an NFL talent. He was a good running back for us. He had some great games. But there's levels to this kind of thing. Did he ever play in any other football? He didn't play in the XFL.
I tried to do some research. I couldn't find any information about him.
I don't think he played in the CFL. Those are like you got to find a way other than just trying on Twitter. If what he's trying to lobby for a job on Twitter, and I'm sure he's doing other things outside of that, but like, you have a much better job or much better chance of trying to make that step into the next level if you go and perform well at a lower level. You got to find a way to showcase your talent on a football field in some way or another. And with football, it's probably the hardest sport to do that, I would think, because you can't just join. There's no rec football leagues,
No,
there's no AAU for football. I mean, there might be, but not that I'm really aware of that has the same coverage as AAU in basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, the top talent, you watch them play AAU, you're like, okay, these guys are going
to
make moves.
You sometimes have 7-on-7 camps and just camps that people will go to for scrimmages and stuff, but it's nowhere
But not
close.
Once you're Pig Howard's age.
Exactly, exactly.
You've got to try to you've kind of got to swallow your pride and play on a small team. If you think you are an NFL talent, then it shouldn't be that hard to go play for. Is the XFL ever coming back? Is that next year? Okay, well, go to the Canadian Football League.
Go play slam ball, man.
Go do something football related in any sort of fashion that you can get into. And evolve.
Yeah,
get better.
It's a very topical thing right now in the area of unemployment for people just calling people lazy and saying that you don't want to work. Well, this is one of those instances where it's like seeing you are just shouting people out on Twitter and asking for favors instead of going and finding a workout on your own.
And I'm sure he is probably in shape if he's trying to push for an NFL job. Nobody who's been sitting on the couch for, ever since he graduated is trying to lobby for an NFL mm-hmm. job. No, I don't think anyone's that deluded. Like, he's not a dumb person. It's just like you got to find a way to get that foot in the door, and just lobbying on Twitter, like NFL teams, you aren't a it's really tough to talk about this
NFL
right now.
NFL teams have plenty of people in their replies saying I could do that job better.
Yes, they do.
For some reason,
Tim Tebow gets signed. That is apart from this.
That was another conversation of topic through his timeline.
He doesn't even count. Don't compare yourself to Tim Tebow. Pick Howard, number one. This might piss off a lot of all fans, even though it's like just factual. What they've done, regardless, the name Tim Tebow, the name Pick Howard. What is more recognizable?
Oh, 100%. Pick Howard didn't even go in our pig draft.
He didn't. No. Someone replied and asked if he would have been fair game.
No. Unacceptable.
I was about to say, he would have flew. Like, it would have been fine.
If pigs fly.
It's just, that pig, when he was at UT, he kind of flew a little bit. But Tim Tebow got there strictly off of his name.
And having a connection
And
to
having
Urban
a connection
Meyer.
To the coach.
If
like
Butch
it was kind
Jones
of a,
was coaching in the NFL right now,
yeah,
you might have a shot if you also get suspended from the team and are Tim Tebow with Philippians
4:13
written on your eye black and stuff like that. Here's
the thing is, though, you can talk trash about Tim Tebow getting a job all you want. At the end of the day, everyone saying that, trying to lobby for a job for themselves because of him, at the end of the day, in deep inside, they know, like, he's not going to play. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be on the team. Like, it doesn't really matter that Tim Tebow is a Jacksonville Jaguar. If he wants to be a practice dummy and block, you know, the first string defense, then go ahead, Tim. But you're not going to be on that 53-man roster.
Yeah, Pick Howard tweets out, all I need is one opportunity. I promise I will be a steal. I will help add value to any offense in the NFL as a running back or slot wide receiver.
I mean, good for him for, like, going for it and trying to, you know, find a way to do what he wants to do. I don't know how likely it is. He's getting pretty old, right? Did he graduate in 14?
15 or, no, 17. I believe he was dismissed from the team in 2017.
17? Lord.
Hold on, I'll find it.
Pick that sounds Howard. Much later, because he...
You just know you don't have a great brand.
No,
going
Pick
for
Howard
you.
Was before Jalen Hurd.
He was 28 years old, born March 9th, 1993.
Yeah, I mean, so.
But you know you don't have a great brand going from you because I just typed in Pig Howard and the first word that came up after it was fumble.
Yeah, that I still. Every time I bring him up, I see that play. That one hurt.
Yeah, it did.
That was a painful one. And I don't really blame that on him. It's a little late to be, you know, to be. Talking about how sad it makes you, but he was trying to make a play.
Yeah,
Nothing. I won't hate on Pick Howard for saying that or for trying that. He tried to win the football game.
No, it's not a great brand look.
No, it's just tough.
It would be like
if a GM Googles your name and sees that, and he's like,
if that's the first word next to it, that's
not
your most notable play,
not touchdown or you know catch.
It's Dan Sorensen's next word is targeting. Like it's
no. No. Dan Sorensen's next word is warrior, beast.
No, I was just transitioning into you guys added a new defensive back today from the Minnesota Vikings, I believe.
I saw that.
I'm blanking on the name right now. I had it in front of me, but I have switched to a different screen. But Brent Veach strikes again. A lot of
yes,
people are excited. Mike Hughes, cornerback.
Yeah, I was just pulling that up. Yeah. Cornerback Mike Hughes, we traded him. We're traded for him. Got a little he's battled injury. Throughout his career, he's pretty young. He was a first-round draft pick. Hopefully, he stays healthy and plays great for us. I mean, Brett Veach is usually pretty good at like when it comes to talent evaluation. He is pretty spot on. Like he doesn't miss a lot, especially when he actively pursues somebody. Usually, they're at least going to be somewhat okay. Of course, he's not 100%, but Brett Veach has a reputation now. To the point of pretty much any move he makes, I'm like, okay, that just made us better. Just based off of his track record in the last 2 years. He's been phenomenal.
He's starting to reach that Bill Belichick level.
Yes, he's starting
Bill
to reach.
When Bill Belichick does anything, it's the right move.
Yeah, I mean, he might be the best GM in the NFL. I mean, technically, Bill Belichick isn't a GM. So, I mean, like Brett Veach is what every franchise quarterback in the NFL wishes their GMs would do. It's what Aaron Rodgers wishes his team would do. Patrick Mahomes got chased around like and thrown around like a rag doll in the Super Bowl. One game, one time he's ever been chased around and you know been attacked.
He was chased around in the Browns game. That's what got him injured.
Well, that was an option run. It was an option run.
But he had been chased around the whole entire game. the offensive line issues weren't just in the Super Bowl, but I see what you're saying.
They were magnified.
Yes,
that was the worst they had ever been.
Well, it's also, I think, I don't want to misspeak and insult Folky or even my own Titans, but I think that was also probably the best defense y'all had played up until that point.
Sure.
Or at least.
But we also had like fresh injuries. Like out of that brand, like we had, that was the most injuries we had.
What you're saying, as magnified, like I think that was the most athletic linebacker core and most aggressive
sure.
defensive lineman you had seen all year. JPP was playing out of his mind.
Yeah. And what does Brett Veach do? He goes, oh, our offensive line is horrible. You fast forward to, I mean, that was February. Fast forward to May. We have a completely new offensive line that looks like it could be a top three offensive line in the league.
Yep. But we also, Vols. Looked like they were going to have the top offensive line in the
Fair.
Southeastern Conference.
The TVA.
And we didn't really do much with it. So, obviously,
yeah.
Kansas City is not in the same or anywhere close to similar situations as Tennessee, as we're much better off. But I do say that. Just temper expectations. Be hesitant.
Sure.
Don't get overly enthused. But
nah.
Chiefs are swapping late-round draft picks with the Minnesota Vikings, and the Kansas City Chiefs will also be getting back Minnesota's 2018 first round pick. That'd
I feel good about
my
it.
Cues.
I would like to, if our secondary is even better than it was last year, we've got a pretty damn good defense. I'm excited about this football team, man. I like every pickup we've made so far.
According to Chiefs Daily 15 mm-hmm. on Twitter, the Chiefs have a fun young group of cornerbacks right now. Ward is 24 years old. You have DeAndre Baker at 23 years old. Lejarius Sneed at 24 years old. Mike Hughes at 24 years old. Rashad Fenton at 24 years old. And Bo Pete Keys as 23 years old. In his three seasons, 24 total games, Mike Hughes has had 80 total tackles, two of those for a loss, three forced fumbles, three fumble recoveries, 13 pass deflections, two INTs, one touchdown, has only missed 16.9% of his tackles, has had 20 total returns to go along with 224 total return yards. Maybe not the most impactful trade, but still, nonetheless, it's good to have another body able to fly around there on that defensive end.
Yes, it's hopefully he can stay healthy. That's all
I
want.
We'll be right back. More Overtime next. Overtime, hour two, rolling right along live from the Fanrun Radio studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, going up until 8 p.m. like usual. I got an NFL.com article about the overreactions to the 2021 NFL schedule. We haven't really talked about the NFL schedule. I'm not a big schedule guy. I know a lot of shows have been talking about the schedule releases and stuff like that, but it gets pretty boring to me of just like going down and going, okay, this team plays this team then, this team plays this team then, this team plays this team then. You know what I mean? Like it bogs me down, gets me tired,
right.
Makes me want to take a nap.
I get a little bit excited just to see when we're going to have certain teams. I say we as the Chiefs, that's really the only schedule I checked. I'm excited that the Chiefs are coming to Nashville. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure we played the Titans this year, in Nashville. So
I hope you guys don't come to Knoxville.
No, not coming to Knoxville.
You might miss the game.
Yeah. I don't think they would let us play in Neyland. That would be pretty sick if the Chiefs and the Titans played in Neyland. I think that'd be pretty cool.
It would be cool, I guess.
Pack it full, 102.
It would be cool.
Even if it was all Titans fans and I was the one red dot, I would love it. I would love every second of it. It would just be pretty cool. But yeah, it's gonna be October 24th, a 1 p.m. game. Gonna give me plenty of time to go
game. I'm assuming that's a Sunday.
Yeah, that's okay. A Sunday.
You said 1 p.m. game. I figured, but I wanted to make sure
yeah.
they weren't doing 1 p.m. games on Mondays or Tuesdays.
You know who the Chiefs' Week One matchup is?
Don't tell me.
It's an interesting one.
Do not tell me.
It's gonna be fun.
Is it the Bills?
It is the Cleveland
Browns. That's right. I knew it was one of the two teams that like had big implications to
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun matchup.
It's going to be fun because we won't have seen the teams at all. And Folky will be back producing, right, by
hopefully.
September.
Hopefully, if he doesn't move up too much in the big world.
Maybe. Well, it won't be October yet, so he may not be back. But either way, I'm going to be talking trash to Folky. I can't wait. There won't be any worries for an excuse for a non-called targeting. I think we absolutely boat race them. I'm not worried about them at all. I'll start the trash talking now. Now that I know it's week one.
Don't start it yet. He can't defend himself.
They're up next. Not on air. This is all I'm going to do.
What are you doing? You're doing it right now
on
air. That's
what
you were
doing.
I'm
stating facts. We're not talking trash. I will start talking trash to Folky starting now because they're next up. Now that this is,
I feel like maybe you should get through training camp first, make sure everything goes smoothly
Don't even indicate anything bad happening in training camp.
You've had quarterbacks get
injured
before.
Hey, don't even say quarterback. We're not talking about quarterbacks here. We're not talking about any disasters or problems. We don't need that bad juju. We're gonna pretend like you never said that. Because you put bad negative energy in the air, bad things can happen.
Here are the overreactions that NFL.com has written down. There's only five of them.
Okay.
But interesting ones here. First one, Tom Brady can finally complete his career resume. It's the million-dollar question. Who was the key to the Patriots' success the past two decades, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? After the breakup last offseason, a subsequent Super Bowl title for Brady, and a sub-500 season for Belichick's Patriots seems to point to the future Hall of Fame quarterback as the answer to said question. Now, after earning 7 Super Bowl victories and 3 NFL MVP awards and the most QB wins in NFL history, Brady will face the Patriots in week 4 with a chance to claim the one prize that's eluded him for a year anyway. With a win in his return to New England, Brady would join Drew Brees, Brett Favre, and Peyton Manning as the only quarterbacks in NFL history to defeat all 32 teams.
That's pretty
good. Joining Favre, Manning, and Joe Montana, Brady will also become the 4th quarterback in NFL history to win 100 or more games with one franchise and later play against them. There's much more at stake even for the QB who almost done it all.
I don't know how much money, but I would pay a large sum to see Bill Belichick and the Patriots dog walk the Bucs. They probably won't. The Bucs returning all 22 starters doesn't look great for the Patriots.
It's the Tom Brady effect, man.
Well, the Tom Brady effect that, like, didn't every single person that scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl come this season?
Yes, so,
like,
they all joined during the season.
So the argument that Tom Brady comes in and completely changes a bad team, technically you could make that argument because him being there brought other guys in, but it wasn't his talent or his play on the field that did. It was a new team.
And that's not what I'm saying. But when I say Tom Brady effect, I strictly mean that attraction. That
sure.
The players want to come play. It's LeBron effect. It's that,
right.
That effect that those guys have. That's my take on Joe Burrow before he got injured.
It's a bandwagon effect.
I think Joe Burrow is going to be good because even if he goes to the Bengals, which he ended up going to the Bengals, obviously,
yep.
I really do have a feeling that he is so talented and people see the talent inside of Joe Burrow that they're going to want to go play with him. They're going to want to go once he gets things under a couple things
yeah,
under
once
his belt.
Once he gets his career kind of stabilized,
people
he's
are
still
going to want to go team up with Joe Burrow. It's
sure.
That effect. And so that's what I mean when I say Tom Brady effect is people want to go play with a proven winner. And it showed that at least those three guys who caught touchdown passes or scored it in the Super Bowl
yep.
believed that it was Tom Brady that was that special piece. It was Tom Brady that could make them the best that they could be.
Yeah, it's just the argument of him coming in, like, if there had been no additions besides Tom Brady and he takes the exact same team to the Super Bowl, then it's all Tom Brady. Congratulations, Tom Brady. You're insane. You are the catalyst to success. I will tip my cap to you. You're the GOAT. But it wasn't just Tom Brady. Like, they completely re-energized their whole team.
And they drafted fantastically
with
their linebacker core.
They have a great defense.
Yes,
like, they're a solid team, and Tom Brady just doesn't throw 30 interceptions a game. Like, that was the whole missing key, was they needed a couple more playmakers and a guy who wasn't just absolutely lazy with the football.
But that's what makes Tom Brady Tom Brady.
That's why
he has 7, Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
There's a reason he's about to be the winning most quarterback in NFL history. Like, he is that guy. Regardless of your feeling about him or anything like that, you cannot deny statistics. Like, facts are facts. To quote the logical fallacy king, Ben Shapiro, facts don't care about your feelings.
Sure. I just...
Facts don't care about your feelings, P-word.
It's just the way that I grade GOAT is more based in actual talent.
It's more based in bias. You do not like Tom Brady. Many people don't like Tom Brady. Same thing as why many people.
I have no problem with him personally.
But many people's definition of GOAT who are New England fans are also very biased in strictly calling Tom Brady the GOAT. It's a very fluid thing. But
I think you should be more talented than what Tom Brady is physically.
But you cannot deny that it's translated to 7 Super Bowl rings. Like that's
sure,
that's the kicker.
Like he's the winningest quarterback of all time. He is the most successful quarterback of all time. I won't argue any of those points. But when it comes to it, if you want to take a garbage team and add one player, are you putting Tom Brady or Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana? Any of those guys make a bigger difference on a garbage team than Tom Brady does on a garbage
team.
But
quite literally, you just had that scenario. Now, I don't want to call Tampa
a
garbage team.
I'm talking one addition, not adding in other people.
Let me finish. I'm not necessarily calling Tampa a garbage team, but when you add Tom Brady, that was the single piece you add. Now, I know in your scenario, you're thinking you can't add any other pieces.
Gronk, Antonio Brown.
But it comes from Tom Brady. Like, again, that's the Tom Brady effect. When you get Tom Brady there, it does attract talent. It does bring those other people out of the woodworks. That's
then
just
happens. What is the bigger difference then? The idea of Tom Brady and the fact that he is the most successful player, or is it his talent? Is it the fact that people go, well, Tom Brady has rings, so I'm going to go play with Tom Brady, therefore talent flocks, and you kind of just have a self-sufficient system that
but
regardless
you also
of
are
how
going
good
to,
you are.
You're also going to the Bucks or wherever Tom Brady is going because you know he is – it's hard to say – I don't want to say – it's hard not to call him talented because like he's obviously talented. You're playing at a professional level for 40-something years. Like you're going to be talented at football. You know what I'm saying? Like
sure.
You are going to be talented. But like they have – it's not just –
But it's a lot easier when there's talent around you.
But – he attracts the talent because they know he is talented enough to get them the ball. He's smart enough to get them the ball. He knows what's going on. He is the perfect game manager. I hate having the Tom Brady argument every single time, but like it's just facts. Like you can have a very fluid argument, but many people's arguments are very similar to the argument of like, well, Wilt's not good enough because of the competition and things of that nature that he played, and he wasn't nearly as athletic as the guys now. Tom Brady is playing now and doing all of this compared to the older guys. You know what I mean? Like, and now you also have the difference because football wasn't as much of a throwing sport back in the day as it is now, but Tom Brady has played for decades. He's played through the fluidity of the league and how the league has changed. So
it's just on average, he's had like the best football teams overall than like anybody else.
That's from the Patriots, and that's just like when Bill Belichick comes into play of being that genius where people automatically assume, we were just talking about Brett Veach's type thing, where people automatically assume that guy is just going to be good, and it proved to be true when he was in New England. But now that you switch and the Tom Brady effect kind of leaves, like it really does seem like talent and winning just follows a man with the initials of TB. You know what I mean?
But, I mean, the reason the Patriots didn't have an influx of talent was because they didn't immediately have a quarterback. Like, it was Cam Newton, sure, but Cam Newton doesn't attract. Like, he's not a thrower. He's not an insane arm talent.
Let me ask you this, and this will be where we end because we got to hit a break here in a second. But just quickly, no argument or anything. I'm not going to try to rebut. I might say something right as we go to break, but that's just how I do.
Right.
But if I gave you the option right now, or not give you the option, who do you think would have turned out a better record? Because it was a below 500 record for Cam Newton. Now there was issues, benching, injury, and things like that. But he finished below 500 with Jacoby Myers and barely anybody on that receiving core. Do you think Tom Brady would have had a better record with that exact team? Because in my brain, I think he probably would have gotten.
Well, yeah, I mean, Tom Brady's a better quarterback than Cam Newton, but that's like Cam Newton's no world beater. I'm not saying Tom Brady's a bad
quarterback. No, I know that's not what you're saying, but at the same time, you bring up the fact of they didn't have a quarterback. That's why the talent didn't influx. I still think that Tom Brady would have made it. I think they probably would have gotten that wild card playoff spot or at least been way closer to fighting for it.
Sure.
If you have Tom Brady with that exact same team of New England.
Tom Brady would have been healthy the entire season. That's
exactly.
He plays safe for football.
And that's, I mean.
Sure. It's smart.
Prolonged his career to be able to play for 40 years and get 7 Super Bowl titles.
Sure.
You can hate it all you want, but that's just the facts of the matter.
Yeah.
As Mac Miller says,
all right.
That's just the facts of the matter. And we'll be right back. Birthday's next.
Agree to disagree.
Time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. Is this thing on, Tucker?
Yes, it is.
Oh, sweet. Perfect. Perfect.
Button didn't click.
As I just said, it's time for the birthday game. People have sexual intercourse, and that leads to babies, and then babies are born, and we celebrate them with their birthdays.
Happy birthday to these beautiful people.
Shout out to all the beautiful human beings in the world, especially the ones born today. If you have a birthday and you want to get on the birthday game, DM me a little bio about yourself, and I'll be sure to put you inside the birthday game. We've just never had anybody reach out. But that would be fun if we had to, like, guess fans' birthdays.
How would I know their names?
Just different tweets and stuff like that.
Okay, sure.
I'm sure, like, you could figure out if it was, like, G-Man Vol, Smokey
Vol,
okay, Houston, or somebody like
sure,
that.
Sure, I could figure that out, yeah. So if you're popular...
If you have over 1,000 followers, DMs are open.
Yeah. If not, get out of here, nerd. Get your followers up and then come talk
get
to us.
Get your bread up. May 13th, 1993, Huntsville, Alabama. 28 years old
you
today.
1993?
93, yeah.
Okay. I thought you said 33, and then the age just didn't match.
No, 28 years old today, TV actress. When you say she's 28 years old, it kind of is eye-opening because this is someone we watched. I'm assuming you watched as well. I definitely watched this person as a child when we were both technically children.
Jamie Lynn Spears.
Actress best known for her roles on the Disney Channel series Sweet Life on Deck and the show.
Debbie Ryan.
Jesse, it is.
She's
Debbie
28?
Ryan, 28 years
Good
old.
Good Lord.
Radio Rebel.
They didn't seem that much older than me when I was a child, when I was watching those.
Well,
you know?
Like the Mean Girls were like 30 when they were recording that movie.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I'm 19. I could play a 14-year-old. Like, you play down sometimes.
Would just have to, like, give you, like, a thing where you would walk on your knees and just have little legs. They just have to make you shorter.
There's tall 14-year-olds out there.
Yeah, but it'd be better if you were, like, 5'2".
Good point by you. May 13th, 1986, London, England. Another actor. This one's a movie actor, but you definitely know him from when you were a child as well. Because actor, producer, model, best known for playing a vampire in the Twilight series.
Robert Pattinson.
It is Robert Pattinson, the new Batman. Okay.
I think he'll be good, honestly.
I'm a big Batman fan. They do have very bad hit or misses, such as Ben Affleck's, but I'm excited about this one. It looks, at least the production quality and the direction of it.
I like how
like
dark it
be,
looks.
Yes, very entertaining.
I think he could be the right kind of guy for a dark Batman.
I think so, too.
I think he's a decent actor. He's got the stink of Twilight on him still somehow, but he's a decent actor.
He smells bad.
Yeah.
May 13th, 1966, Charleston, South Carolina, 54 years old today, pop singer/country singer, lead singer of the group Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, that's Darius Rucker.
It is Darius Rucker. I didn't know how well you knew Hootie.
Oh, I know Hootie. Blowfish. Yeah, for sure.
Only when I be with you.
His wagon wheel is not accepted in my car, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got to be Old Crow Medicine Show.
No, that's very fair. I'm glad you know the actual band. My sister only plays Darius Rucker.
Really?
A bunch of family from Charleston, so there's a little bit of a connection.
Okay.
He's from
right.
Charleston, so like multiple of my family saw him before he was big and popping.
That's fair. That's
down
pretty
in Charleston,
cool.
Stuff
okay.
like that. Same thing with Taylor Swift. Down at Fort Loudoun, they do a, she's not from Charleston, stick with me. Down in Loudoun, they do a Rock on the Docks over where they do the big 4th of July celebration.
Okay.
My dad used to go to it all the time, and he saw Taylor Swift before she was famous. She's like 15 singing
at
Rock
my
on the Docks.
My mom saw Trace Adkins before he was big. At, like, the Jefferson County Fair or something like that. Yeah.
Pretty neat.
Pretty neat. She said he was just a giant.
Well, then he had already gotten big.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Another country music singer. May 13th, 1993. Sneedville, Tennessee. 27 years old.
That's Morgan Wallen.
Yeah. It's not a good human being.
Yeah. But that's the only person from Sneedville that would be on Celebrity Birthdays.
I did not know that you knew where he was from.
I know his family members, yes.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's not far from Granger.
May 13th, 1950. Michigan, 70 years old today. Not 30 years old, 70 years old today. Motown prodigy and multi-instrumentalist artist who broke the record for Grammy Awards held by solo artist with 22 titles and released over 30 top 10 hits during his career.
James Brown. You said Motown?
He suffered from retinopathy.
Stevie Wonder.
Prematurity. Yes, it is Stevie Wonder. Have you seen the conspiracy theory that he's not actually blind?
I love it. I love it so much. Have you seen where like a mic stand fell over and he caught it?
Yeah.
How'd he know it fell? Yeah. How'd you know, Steve?
Yeah, there's one of my favorite YouTube wormholes.
It's so good.
Stevie Wonder, blind or not.
Yeah, I think someone threw something at him and he caught it one time.
You gotta not, like, you can't do that. Like that's literally the plot of Arrested Development.
You gotta let it hit you. You gotta take it.
If you're committed, you're committed.
Yeah.
May 13th, 1977, the Bronx, New York, 43 years old today.
Jay-Z.
Terrence Thornton. He is one half of rap duo Clips and a solo artist on the Good Music label. Got in a beef with Drake a little while back.
Oh, that's going to be Pusha T.
It is Pusha T.
Ah, okay. Yeah, whenever you start getting into like Brooklyn rappers, Jay-Z, And then my mind goes a little blank.
That's fair. That's fair. May 13th, 1964, Washington, D.C., 56 years old today. Very funny dude right here. Got his start Dana Carvey show. He's a witty political satirist whose popular show, The Blank Report, aired on
Colbert.
Comedy Central. There you go.
Stephen Colbert. I miss the Colbert
Report. I love Stephen Colbert so
much. He's pretty great. I miss Jon Stewart, too.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart is a fantastic American.
Fact.
The stuff he's done for like the 9/11 first responders, hero.
May 13th, 1961, Trenton, New Jersey, 59 years old today. Dominant NBA forward who was mostly known for his defense and rebounding and outrageously bizarre behavior.
Bill Walton?
Won at five NBA titles between his
Dennis
time
Rodman.
With the Detroit Pistons and Chicago
Bulls.
Yeah,
I was like, who else is weird? Oh, the one weird guy.
Yeah. May 13th, 1978, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, 42 years old, another NBA player, NBA point guard, best known for his seven seasons leading the Sacramento Kings from 2001 to 2008. After his time with the Sacramento Kings, he played for the Atlanta Hawks, Washington Wizards, and Miami Heat before finishing his career with the Knicks in 2012.
God, that's an era that I'm not great on.
MB.
How old is he?
Hold on, I gotta get back to his profile. 42. Baby, 40. Babies wear his last name.
Oh, it's Mike Bibby?
It is Mike Bibby.
Gotcha. Okay. So far, I've known everyone, right?
Hockey player, you definitely know. I'm pretty lenient with the hints.
Not as hard because
it's not as much of a guessing
game.
Yeah,
I'm not having to beat anybody.
Yeah. May 13th, 1989, Toronto, California, one of my favorite places.
Aubrey Drake.
Toronto, Canada. He's a hockey player, 31 years old, Canadian-born Jamaican defender who made his NHL debut with the Montreal Canadiens. You definitely know this guy.
It's not Gretzky. Is it Gretzky?
31 years old, still in the league right now.
Okay, my bad.
Jamaican.
Jamaican, bro. Is it P.K. Subban?
It's P.K. Subban.
Okay. I was about to say, that's the only, like, I know, like, five hockey players. I wasn't expecting. You said the Canadiens, right? I didn't know he...
Yeah, he plays for the Canadiens right now.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Oh. He moved around ever since he left Nashville. May 13th, 1992, New Orleans, Los Angeles. Every time. Louisiana.
One day, and it's going to be great.
28 years old, NFL defensive back, best known by this nickname, who was a third-round pick of the Arizona Cardinals in 2013. He won a Super Bowl with the Chiefs in 2020. He was the first to gain national recognition as a All-American cornerback and Heisman Trophy finalist for LSU.
Oh, it's Tyrann Mathieu.
There you go.
Yeah. Sorry, I was doing something over here real quick, and then I heard Chiefs and was like, oh, God, I missed the first part.
Yeah, no, I laid off on that one because I figured you would know it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
There's a couple baseball players, but I don't know how well you would know them.
Unless they're a name that you probably know.
I recognized it, but not enough to really
like, I know if I was to look at the page, I could probably know, like, two or three if they're, like, current players, but I...
Here, we'll
not confident in my ability to guess.
Go quickly to this guy. May 13th, 1978, Las Vegas, Nevada, 42 years old, three-time MLB All-Star pitcher who won the 2002 Cy Young Award with the
Mariano
Oakland
Rivera.
A's. Nope, Oakland A's.
The A's?
That would be BZ.
BZ? Barry Switzer.
You're very close.
Barry Zeals.
Very close.
Barry's.
Think of, you got the right first name, think of Joey. That would be one. Barry Zito.
Barry Zito. I know who that is.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, we will. We love you guys. Have a good one.